Sweet, so we're in. So this could go horrifically wrong because I've had to take over technical control, which means that it could go fucking bad. But so we're cracking off. So I guess we've got to do our own intro into this. We're one of the first. I don't know why us three have been trusted to do a self-moderated thing at all, because it could just go down a different way that they won't show it. But today we're going to go through everything in terms of Black Friday. We'll do a quick introduction to who everyone is in a minute, but in terms of like key points we're taking away, like what we want to do with this is not make it just strategy, which is 90% of the Black Friday kind of guides that are out there. We've managed to rope in Tyler from Lowbrow, and we'll do a proper introduction in a second with him in terms of going through the actual insight, plus a few other babies we've got featured in here. But it's really opening up the car bonnet of Black Friday. This is going to be like 80% takeaway from copy, landing pages, images, etc., videos, and then 20% strategy, just kind of glancing over the strategy. So without further ado, we'll kind of chuck into it. And I'm going to pass the mic over in a second. This screenshot's just here in terms of to kind of validate whilst we're doing this. This is going to be one of the only times that you're going to see screenshots with numbers in. So within this, and we'll talk about why to do Black Friday, and Tyler, it'll be really cool to get your thoughts on it. We're going to go through the guide of how we get from 4 to 23 return on ad spend. And it's important to look at the different numbers, because again, a lot of people will just look at Black Friday and look at the big return on ad spend numbers, but we kind of see it a little bit differently. So over to I will do the intro to Tyler, because Tyler's the most modest man in the world, right? 1,000,000%, the most modest man, and never talks about how cool he is. But Tyler, I'll do a quick run through, then you can introduce yourself. Owner of Lowbrow Customs, everyone check that out. It's an amazing brand. They've had rapid growth to 7 figures a month over the last couple of years. Average order value 124. He likes to fall off bikes. I think since working with him, he's broken two bones since we've been working with you, Ty, in terms of falling off bikes.
It's questionable because I didn't get x-rays.
And he can be force-fed beer. So, Ty, I don't know if you just want to give a very quick kind of background with your own words, because I won't do it justice in terms of who and what Lowbrow is. Because, and again, when I speak to people that kind of know of Lowbrow, they talk it up way more than you, because I think it's just your normal in your life. But the way that I see Lowbrow is more of a movement as well as an e-commerce brand. So I don't know if you just want to give a quick wrap about Lowbrow, how you kind of got to where you are in the background story of it.
The simple explanation is e-commerce, direct-to-consumer motorcycle parts brand. So Lowbrow Customs, and say we have, I don't know, maybe 1,000 products that are our brand, and then another, at this point, maybe 7,000 or 8,000 products that we carry, warehouse and ship to customers. I started Lowbrow in 2004 as an e-commerce company. It was just myself for the first 5 years. Now we've got 16 employees, just doubled the size of our warehouse, actively doing that right now, constantly developing new parts, adding new things to our offerings, hitting marketing and connecting with our customers, building that culture like in every way possible, as far as long form blog content, tons of video production. You find our stuff on Amazon Prime and YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. Email lists since 2004, paid ads, SMS push, et cetera. We throw a lot of events. I look at it as being very simple. I just do things I like to do, and the things I think are cool. One of our core values is purveyors of quality and cool. I don't sell stuff just because you can make money on it. I could have made way more money way faster doing that. But I keep it true to what I think is cool, what I like. And there's enough people who also agree that we have a really healthy business. And we're just like one tiny little microcosm of the motorcycle industry, but it's like more than enough to have a great, healthy business with a great team of employees. We're well compensated. We're all having fun. I mean, it's still work, but we all really enjoy what we do. And in general, our customers are stoked to deal with us because motorcycles tend to be a passion and hobby, not just like something they have to do. You know, they're not like buying gutters from us or whatever. So it makes our job easier for marketing and interacting with them, because it's generally fun stuff, you know?
Yeah, so I'd say the fun point always comes across as well, like in terms of marketing your brand. And I'm sure when babies watch this, they'll go and check your brand out. Like, it's fun, it's cheeky. We have some humor in there as well, which I think is like part of why it works amazing.
Yeah, my industry is mostly like tough guy, arms crossed, heavy metal music, you know, and I've got a bunch of tattoos and stuff, but that was before motorcycles even. But I don't play off the tough guy bullshit. I think it's stupid. I like to smile and have fun and have a good time. And that's what we purvey. Like, we make fun of ourselves and about the tough guy BS in our culture. And again, that if it's like that vibes with plenty of people, and those tough guys who doesn't vibe with, you know, that you know somewhere else or whatever, you know, it works really well. We're just authentic. And that's a word I would put at the core of our success. It's just like, we're just real, you know, that's it.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. And I'd like, whenever we're all at events, Tyler's like, from a friend's perspective, and then also as a fellow business owner, like Tyler's a cool guy, and I look up to him in perspective of you're kind of nailing it, dude, from my perspective. Like, we were just chatting this from the aspects of your business you're nailing, but how you've built your lifestyle around it. And you're like, most entrepreneurs who are at your stage are just running ragged every single day. And I think you're a breath of fresh air for sure about how kind of you've built it, and you've got a lifestyle around it, very family orientated and everything else, which I know we were talking about at the beginning and joking, but legit from our perspective, like we look up to you in that aspect, which is super cool. And I'll remind you that you are older than me. So yeah. You must be like, cool, man. No, all good, man. It's 1,000,000% the truth. So a little bit about us. So you see Neil and I, Neil, we'll start talking when we get into the more technical, Penn and Teller. So we're obviously the marketing folks. We own a marketing company, and, you know, full disclosure, obviously, if you haven't worked out right now, Lowbrow and Tyler's one of the brands that we work with and partner with. In terms of, just to give you a quick one about us, you know, 35 brands at once is kind of what we work where we like to think of ourselves as a partner versus an agency. We're all under one roof. We don't do the outsourcing game. Average time someone stays with us is 2 years. We must be coming up to that with you, Tyler, now, I think, because we met in Croatia, right, in June.
Yeah, I think we're probably past that now.
COVID just like deletes time from your brain.
Totally. I think it's been a few years now. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, it was good fun. That Croatia trip was good fun anyway. So that one night was a funny night. We all know what night.
Yeah.
It's a funny night. We manage about 1.5 mil spend on paid media, Facebook, Google, do a tiny bit of Amazon and Pinterest and all sorts. And pizza and gin are the way to bribe us if you ever need anything from us. So I don't know, Neil, if you want to handle this slide in terms of the main different three reasons of why. Because I think as well, and Tyler, to touch on with you to give the context, I don't know if you see this, we see some people like really against Black Friday. We see some people really for it. And we're in the middle where we're like, it's a really cool thing to do, but you have to do it right. And we see some people kind of do the whole, I'm not doing Black Friday because my brand's too cool for it, or my brand's too good for it, or I don't buy into it. And like, my say to that would be, you're missing out on a slight opportunity because people's like buying intent is so much higher. I don't know what Tyler, Neil, if you want to add into that.
Yeah, I can chime in on that. My personal, the way I am is like, I don't actually like to market that much. Like, I'm like, if you want it, buy it. If you don't. That being said, that's exactly how I used to be, that direct. These days, you know, I market in a way that I think is respectful. You know, I'm very aware of over communicating, and I'm careful to not inundate people with BS, you know, just like worthless marketing. We really put a lot of effort into what I think is truly giving value to our customers, right? So our marketing might be a great video that's like actually enjoyable and not really trying to sell you something, right? Or, you know, blog content, historical article, how-to information for working on your motorcycle. And so we use a lot of that to market year round, but including around Black Friday. So like, I want to give like, hey, you're giving me a little bit of your attention. I'm giving you value, real value in return, not like bullshit value, you know, where I'm using you and just trying to like give me a few bucks. You know, it's really like a trade-off. It's like, hey, I'm going to give you reasons to value our company and want to do business with us. And I'm going to go above and beyond to stoke you out as a customer. And it's win-win. It's, you know, it's like, it's just a great partnership. And that's, it's, I'm off track, but that's how we built a really great brand following that's super strong. People want to deal with us, you know. And with Black Friday, we don't do a lot of sales. Black Friday is the main thing we do. And the way I look at it is, I mean, even if you do nothing on Black Friday as far as sales or anything, you're very likely going to get more web, you're going to get traffic during that time period from people looking to see if you're doing a sale, right? So like, if you do no sale at all, you're probably actually getting a bump from Black Friday. If people getting in that spending mindset, they're going to be like going to brands they like. People like your brand, they're probably going to be going to your website, whether you're doing a sale or not. If you are doing some sort of sale or offer, more likely to convert those people because they're trying to say, you know, get a deal, right? And I think to me, there's like, there's a line. Like, I'm not going to, you know, Black Friday sales starting frickin', you know, November 1st isn't my style. It also sounds like a horrible slog and I would hate that month dealing with the amount of work, especially at a lower margin. For me, again, it's also that trade-off of, yeah, we want to sell a bunch of product, but I want to make money. I'm not doing this to like,
100%.
You know, so that's kind of where I'm coming from and what you'll, you know, what our viewers here will see and what you guys have done for us.
Yeah, I think as well, and I'll pass the mic to Neil on these two, like the purists that watch or the told you so's that watch this will talk a lot about, well, it's a lot more expensive to advertise, which generally you'll see it can be. And I think the other thing in terms of just to touch on margins is there's two kind of, in my head, there's two reasons to do Black Friday as well. Tyler, you're not the reason of volume, but for other brands, it's really important where they actually will you know, they'll do a discount and the conversion will be there. And maybe it'll be around the same that they would get, you know, in the grand scheme of things outside of Black Friday. But the key that they can do is they can really maximize and get like quadruple the amount of volume in, which then it goes to repeat orders over and over. So it's a way to kind of scale a customer base. So like, and this is an important point, it's not all like Black Friday for certain brands is not always about the profitability being all the way through the roof. For certain brands, it's about we can maximize on volume here to create a database in order to go forwards. But Neil, I don't know if you want to touch on, like, people will undoubtedly be saying, but hang on, advertising costs go up and stuff like that around Black Friday.
Advertising costs do go up, and we track CPMs daily actually for across all of our clients and as a whole, and we see CPMs and advertising costs increase by 4 to 5 times over, you know, the main kind of period around Black Friday. But you've also got to understand that purchase intent increases that amount too. And if you're doing Black Friday right, you want to be, Black Friday doesn't start on Black Friday. Black Friday starts, you know, after last Black Friday finished, because Black Friday is a great way to capitalize on all of the brand building, all the awareness, all the content, all the nurturing, everything that you've done in the past year to collect emails, to collect SMSs, to, like Tyler does, put on events, build the culture, build the relationship with your consumer, and give them that little extra on Black Friday as well. So it's not all about, and Black Friday shouldn't be all about just going hard sell over that small period. And of course that is part of it for a lot of brands. And like I just said, you've got, you know, the way that we approach Black Friday with Tyler, which is all about maximum profitability, which is why we're hitting 23, 24, 25 times return on ad spend. But then you've got the other way where you have to go big, and you have to go sell, and you have to utilize everything that you've been putting together over the last year to really push your volume, you know, way past what it is in previous months. And the buying intent is there. People are actively looking for a sale. And if it's not a sale, they're looking for a reason to buy and a reason to choose you. And they're saving for a certain period up until the Black Friday, because they know the discounts are going to be there. And they're looking to try and get all of their shopping done before that year ends, in that period where the biggest sales are going to be. So you need to capitalize on that.
Cool. So this is just to reiterate, in terms of the strategy, and we're literally going to spend like 2-3 minutes on this just in case, like we did a whole thing on this a year ago. And Tyler, this is obviously the strategy we use with you, which is, you know, a complete and utter joint effort. But in terms of the strategy, and this is, there's two slides on this in terms of when we talk over it, and I'll quickly run through. Neil, if you want to add to it, Tyler, if you want to jump in, just say, Joe, shut up. But in terms of the strategy that we run, so first thing we do is we build this kind of like nurture audience, right? Which is where, and the nurture audience, Ty, is where we, what we define as the nurture audience is that SMS and email opt-in stuff that we do before, that we're kind of obviously just about to launch with you guys. And we'll go through the landing page for that and videos after these two slides. But the thing that we look to build first and foremost is a nurture audience. A nurture audience, what we define a nurture audience, is a group of audience that have identified that, okay, I'm putting my hand up, I'm really excited about the Black Friday sale. So for us to go and create that, we'll throw everything at it. Current SMS and email list, we'll push towards a simple opt-in page that gets around a 50% opt-in rate. We'll also put Facebook, Google, and anything else if people are running. For you, not as applicable in terms of what we do for you, Tyler, but some people are Pinterest or whatever else.
I think the important thing with email, why email is so important this year versus last year more than ever, is especially if you're utilizing lead forms and utilizing like on platform lead generation, where you're not having to combat the iOS issues and everything else. If you look at the way the advertising costs have been rising on a conversion campaign, it is oftentimes a lot cheaper to get an email than it is to get a conversion based click. If you're not, you know, obviously if you're running traffic campaigns or campaigns that are optimized for to get as many clicks as possible, that's not true. But we're seeing, you know, easily generating emails for between the 50 cent and the dollar mark, whereas clicks on a good conversion based campaign can range, you know, between that 50 cents all the way up to $2, $3, $4. So a lot of the times it's actually easier and cheaper to get that email now where the costs are higher, and you get a better conversion percentage from them if you nurture them correctly, and more lifetime value as well.
For sure, 1,000,000%. And we'll talk about the nurturing them. Well, we won't. Tyler will talk about the nurturing, because that's going to be your game in a minute, Tyler. We have a whole slide that says nurture. That's your key to run in and kill that 5 minutes. Because, and I remember having a conversation, to just jump ahead slightly, with Tyler about nurture stuff. He was like, no, I want people to be on my list. And it kind of, I don't want anyone on my list. I want it to feel like it's actually kind of a cool thing to be on the list and it's still behind the scenes. But we'll get into that, because again, Tyler, your email game crushes it. But the whole point of this audience, throwing cold traffic, retargeting traffic, is to get a big key amount of audience into an opt-in page. The opt-in page we'll go for in a second, but it can be anything. And it can be get early access to our Black Friday. It can be get an exclusive discount. It can be notified first. There's lots of different reasons that you could do this. It also depends on, you know, what kind of Black Friday you're going to be running, whether you're doing a week long, whether you're doing a day long, whether you're doing a weekend. Last time with Lowbrow, we did Friday through to Monday. This year, we're going to do it all on the Monday, and we'll allude to that shortly. But there's one size fits all within how long you're going to run it for. But the key is building up this nurture audience all the way. Like we want to run this from the 1st of November all the way up to when or as soon as we can in November, all the way up to when the sale starts, because we can build a real hungry audience there that are going to be kind of the key buyers. And moving on to the next one, when the sale actually happens, we want to then be pushing the nurture audience into, this is just an average e-commerce structure, category, product, order, thank you. And we want to be having that nurture audience that we reward for being on that list, whether it's early access or whatever it is, pushing them when the sale goes live into our funnel. These red lines are just very standard e-commerce marketing. They reflect, if someone hits the category page, jumps off, let's retarget them on different platforms in order to get them back on and boost conversion. And then as well, when the sale goes live, the nurture audience is quite often the most profitable, but as well, we'll obviously put retargeting into it. We'll obviously put cold traffic into it as well. Again, if you want to go more and more over strategy, you can find that. I'm sure the guys will link it into this. We don't want this to be about strategy, but it's good to have a little bit of context. So without further ado, so this video, Tyler, when did we do this first one? This is the first one we did
2018. Yeah. Maybe 20, 2019, I think.
So another story, actually, Tyler. We not that recently, but quite recently, took on a brand, not in your niche at all. And they saw that we did ask, worked with you on our website or whatever. I don't know. They saw an ad with your face on or whatever, because we put your face everywhere. And they go, oh yeah, Lowbrow. Those guys are so good at sales. Like, they do these videos where you can see and you like, it just, and we were giggling. We're like, yeah, like that's the team effort in terms of what we do. So there's two styles of videos, right? There's this one that we'll go through. And I think the best thing we can do here, guys, is if we let it play once and then we just talk about the idea behind it. Tyler, like, I had an idea of, with this video, of text flying, and Tyler had a really cool idea with putting in kind of the iconic moments, the film moments that we've got within this. So if we all shut up and play it once, and then we can have a little kind of wrap about it, Tyler, in terms of your thoughts. And this, again, for Lowbrow, from an ad perspective, kills it, along with a couple of other videos that we'll talk through. So I'm going to hit play. I'm going to hope, if you can hear it now, you have to put your thumbs up, just so I know. I see you smiling throughout that.
Yeah.
When the bike scenes crop up, I see you smiling throughout that.
Which, yeah, I like your choices. And, you know, we've switched them to about there. You know, we swap those clips around and keep a similar video structure. That's worked really well. And it's fun and easy. And, you know, people can't, in my opinion, can't stop watching that. The pace of the music, the animation of the lettering, the little bit of the comedic entertainment or whatever. I think it's a great short, you know, advertisement. People actually, again, like that win-win, right? People enjoy that, right? And not like a crap, I can't skip this goddamn video. It's like, you know, something they might enjoy, and it's getting our message across.
So. Yeah, and I think the point of like when you grin, and you grinned, each time you grinned was when like one of the film clips like this
would,
It's a clip that's just like synonymous with your niche, and everyone as a kid in your niche kind of knows what that is, right?
Right.
Without kind of even knowing it. So it's a super like video, super simple, super to the point, super directive. If we were to look at it from a perspective of like breaking it down from marketing, the key is just we're building up anticipation towards the end of the video. We're giving a little bit away in terms of the different, not necessarily items, but categories that are on sale, with the gas tanks, handlebars, et cetera, et cetera. And then when we get to the end, we talk about how much discount in terms of there's up to X amount. So get notified now. So it's just fun, short, gets to the point, completely on brand with you guys. And then there's this one as well, which hopefully works. If I click on, you should see that I've changed screens to Facebook.
Yep.
And you'll see here all the videos that I watch all the time, which
you're such a kid.
Kids pranking, or parents pranking kids, because I've got a nephew that's just one, and all I try and do is pranks and all sorts. So this is another one of your best performing ads. I believe this ad was like a 50 cents lead into the landing page that we'll show in a minute. So from a copy perspective, it's paired with a video, so it's super short. But this one is a little bit different, Tyler. So we'll...
Hey, everybody. It's that time.
Watch it once, and then you can introduce who it is.
Hey, everybody. It's that time of year again. Time for the big sale at lowbrowcustoms.com. We're not doing Black Friday. We're doing regular Monday to Cyber Monday. That's 7 whole days. And you want to know what we're selling? Well, we can't tell you. But if you go to lowbrowcustoms.com, you can sign up and be the first to know when everything goes up. Come on. You know you want to peek inside.
So how simple...
Hey, everybody.
That's so simple, so effective. He features quite a lot. What's his name again? We were just talking.
Dove, D-O-V-E, Jim Dove.
So he features all the time in your stuff, right? He's synonymous with your audience as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Dove's our lead processor. I think he's worked at Lowbrow for maybe 9 years. So he helps, you know, process orders, get them out, help run the packaging team. But he's also does stand-up comedy. He's a thespian, loves to sing. And he's in a ton of our videos because he's silly and loves acting. And I mean, he'll break into, you know, New Kids on the Block songs or whatever. You know, all kinds of ridiculous stuff that is not synonymous with our industry. And generally, it works well. People really enjoy it. And basically put a camera on Dove. He's like a great asset. You know, we're lucky just to have him, that he enjoys doing this stuff. But yeah, it performs well. And it's so far outside the marketing coming from any other competitors. You know, I mean, it's just like a completely different animal. So I think it's one response.
Yeah, man. 1,000,000% for sure. I think as well, like, people overthink video where this is just so simple. Do you know what I mean? It's nothing complicated. You could even, I mean, Mikey's probably lapel mic'd up and stuff, but in terms of shooting this, you could even do it on an iPhone and stuff like that. So when brands freak out around Black Friday, this stuff, like, it's the simplistic stuff with a clear messaging is the stuff that kind of really works.
Yeah. I'd actually even say, regarding like an iPhone, some of our highest viewed videos, including like, say, Instagram Live or YouTube, etc., are you know, holding an iPhone out, walking around. It's just clearly native and raw, and that's appealing to most people. You know, it's more of an inside look, maybe a little more personal, less polished. So I agree, it's like, you do, we have an in-house videographer and such who's great, but can do things quick and dirty and have it be as or more effective dependent.
You know, the truth is people procrastinate so much over video and try and overdo it, when really all that matters is the messaging, and it doesn't matter too much about anything else. And people aren't on Facebook or social platforms to see an ad. They're just, you know, they're just not there to see an ad. People are on Facebook to see who, you know, who's made it from their school and who hasn't made it, more importantly, who their neighbor's sleeping with, or, you know, kind of all of that. They're not on there to see an ad. And the more authentic and real and raw you can make it, the more it stands out in the newsfeed and the more attention that it grabs. And in all honesty, the bigger of a relationship it can build with a brand, because again, people are turned off by big corporations. They want to see, especially in a niche like yours, they want to see the real you, the real authentic you. And we find that, you know, in almost all circumstances, raw and authentic outperforms non-raw and authentic. People are conditioned to skip past ads.
You know, for us, we look at things like aspirational, right? And so for my industry, the aspirational to a customer might be a really cool motorcycle. It might be just like a motorcycle in the distance. You can't see what the bike is or anything, but it's in some amazing natural setting, right? This road, you're like, man, I wish I was riding. I wish I was me and my buddies and we're going camping. Like, that's like bucket list or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And then, so you have the aspirational and also the attainable, because what I do for a living is like, here's the free information on how to do this. Here's what you need to do this. And like, call us up and we'll give you free support, technical or otherwise, on how to do this. It just makes it, and like, here's video or photos of us doing this. It's just, it makes it like, well, they can do that, I can do that, whatever. It just, again, makes it part of the like a tighter culture than just like you said, people don't really want to watch ads, but if you can give them a really positive feeling, you know, it's like, that's great, they're gonna want more.
The static imagery that works best for you is always like this image you see here, right? And or just ones that aren't anything about your products, but are just about people living the kind of bike lifestyle, right? The freedom of the open road, the wind in your hair. They're the ones that always perform best and outperform any kind of product or ad-based imagery.
Ali as fuck photo.
Okay. Yeah, that's and you know what, the truth behind that photo is we were having a freaking awesome time. It was me and my I think five friends riding to San Diego from Ohio. I built that bike and finished it the day before we left, jumped on it, and we camped our way through 13 states, had a killer time, you know. It was great. So, and that's like, that's just a photo of that happening, right? And so there's no like I probably stunk and I'm wearing shitty clothes like normal, and like, and there's nothing staged about it. Like, that's just the photo, but that's why that kind of stuff works. Because if I was wearing a crisp flannel and we're trying to do some photo shoot, in my opinion, I'd look like a tool, you know? So again, it just comes out with the being authentic, like knowing your market. And again, I have it a little easy in that my, like what we do is cool. So taking photos of this stuff, it's maybe it's easier than selling vacuum cleaners, you know, but
you say that, but in all honesty, the one of the other babies accounts that we'll be walking through in this slide as well, they sell office chairs, and one of the best performing images of them right now was one of the guys from the company took the chair out on the farm, one of the chickens climbed on it, sat on it. It's one of the best performing, one of the best performing ads right now, right? It's just, it stands out in the news feed. It's fun. It's not like they're being marketed to, you know, by every other company under the sun, right? It gives them a unique and authentic standpoint, and, you know, something like that. And that's not just that one image. It's like, and we've even got the guys to go out and they've taken the chair outside in numerous different locations, Utah and, you know, and in the fields. And again, they always work better just being out in an office chair on its own in a natural exotic location. Works wonders.
We should put a chicken on the bike. That's my key takeaway.
That's all you got, put a chicken on it.
That was my key takeaway. At the same time though, like, and I hope people go and look at your stuff, I remember the video we did that was really fun, completely out of Black Friday, when you, or was it a July 4th one, where you were like, we're so obsessed with bikes, we do everything, like, and you're going through the fucking warehouse and then you go to the toilet on the bike. So I think we did that. I think that might have been a July 4th sale or something, we did that one for.
Maybe it was building some awareness for something, but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It's the same format. It's taking, like, it's who you are as a brand. These are images. Something that's quite interesting, actually, which leads on nicely from what we're talking about, in terms of 9 times out of 10, and in the rest of the calendar year, when we're not doing a sale, we will see the images of a bike in the countryside or mountainous, etc., work best. Black Friday is one of those weird things, and I don't know if Neil, you want to allude to it more, where actually the opposite works really well in terms of being more brand heavy, which is kind of like controversial to what we would advise to do the majority of the time. So these are just 3 images, obviously lowbrow here, but the point, what we wanted to try and get across in this as well, is like, for other brands, it's the same like strategy that works, the same methodology that works, of versus having natural at Black Friday, where people are super hungry to buy, we see these heavy product images work, which we would not see work as well outside of Black Friday. No, I don't know if you want to allude to that more.
Yeah, and like Jess said, it's not like Tyler's done an incredible job of creating a culture and a community, which really just helps sales, and is why, you know, the ads for him just go absolutely crazy, because, you know, people love lowbrow. But it's not, this isn't, we use the same principles across pretty much every client. Yeah, and they might need tweaking somewhat, but the same principles are used throughout. And in Black Friday is the one time of the year that we say, you know what, yeah, brand heavy works, short copy works, and you can do that, because people are looking for that sale, they are looking for that immediate buy, and they are looking, you know, to kind of take the next step, and they're kind of they're shopping, they're on social platforms to shop, not, you know, not to consume. And it is pretty much the one time of the year that they consistently are doing that. So towards the Black Friday and the Black Friday and the holiday sales, you can use more brand heavy ad based images, and you can use shorter copy that just entices people to get in and take the sale.
And then here we've got the copy. I thought we had this in, if you can ping me the link now, I'll take it up in, we don't have this one. It's the conversion one. Sorry, we have where we're looking at it. So in terms of just the copy, and I know we'll quickly kind of run through this. We don't need to read it out. This was the best performing copy. Tyler, this might be interesting to you. You may well have known it. It depends if you read the reports we give you or not. I don't know.
which way round. But for Black Friday, this was the best performing one. And it's just super simple. And again, it goes on the same thing that we see right now in terms of Black Friday. We see shorter copy work versus...
People are looking for a sale. All the hard work you've done, you know, building, nurturing, growing that audience, building that, you know, those relationships with your customers throughout the year. Now is the time to really kind of pull that in. You know, people are there waiting to buy. So don't make it, you know, normally we say long copy works best, etc. And throughout the year, we see that across all different industries and niches, because you have to do more selling. You have to sell the product. You have to do the heavy lifting. You know, we have to do it somewhere on the ad or the landing page. And, you know, most of the times in e-commerce anyway, there's not a huge amount of heavy lifting done on the landing page. So you have to do it in the ad. And Black Friday is the opposite, right? Black Friday, you can ask. The rest of the time of the year, we're saying give. Do your selling through giving. Whereas Black Friday, you can ask. And it's the one time a year you really can do.
Just as it has to be legit as well, right? So where we say stuff like PS stock will sell out fast, like for you guys at Lowbrow, it sells out fast. And I know like one of the decisions that you guys made, which is going to be really interesting for this year, ties that last year we did, I can't remember if it was Monday to Monday or whatever it was, but essentially there was that weekend period where it was crazy and your guys were jamming like super hard. And this year we've gone and you've decided to go, we're just going to do it on Monday. And we're going to actually have a marketing message, which is we want our guys to rest over the holiday weekend. And we want, and then on Monday we're going. I actually like, this is going to be a really interesting thing to feedback on as well, because I think we can get the same level of results if we're really bold with it and put spend into it. But I'd love to hear kind of I'd love for others to hear your thoughts on that, Tyler, sure. In terms of number one, it's like a moral decision for you, which is awesome. But number two, turning it into a marketing play.
Yeah. I'm happy to talk about that. So it's a legitimate, you know, moral thing, but I have other thoughts on it as well. Like one, like I don't want to work on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you know. And I always look at things like whatever I want is what my employees want, right? And it's like, so try and be aware of that and make it happen as much as possible. So I thought, well, shoot, we went from like a 4-day sale typically to last year where it's 7 days or 8 days. And man, it was hard work. You know, we're like, I mean, I'm like packing boxes and pulling orders in the warehouse with everyone else. We're just so freaking busy trying to keep orders out, going out the same day, you know, keep up our ship rates and all that. And it was like Groundhog's Day, you know. By the end of that 8 days, everyone was just burned out. Like, God, fuck, thank God that's over, you know? And it was like, yeah, cool. There's a whole bunch of money that came in from that. But it was, you know, it's not fun. So I thought, oh, let's just change it. Everyone wants to have like the ability to say, have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They can go with those 4 days. They can go see family out of town. They can sit at home and relax. They can do whatever. Well, let's just go the opposite. I like to make decisions. I like to use this as a way to frame thought as well, to like just to think about things. It's hard to take things that are like, oh, is a 4-day sale or a 6-day sale better, right? It's like, I don't fucking know. It really just depends on how you market it. But what's better, a 1-hour sale or a 100-day sale, right? And you start thinking about extremes. And so when I think about that, I go, well, okay, we did an 8-day sale. Let's just do a 1-day sale. Worst case is we don't have as high of amount of dollars coming in, right? But we have less inventory going out at a discount. And I feel like, oh, say we do 50%, which would be great. Say we do 50% of our sales volume in 1 day instead of 8 days. Well, that's fine. Because over the next few weeks, we'll move the rest of that inventory to full retail or some of it and have to work less and make the same amount of profit. Basically, that's like my working theory. And if I'm totally wrong, that's fine too. You know, like it's like, then we do it differently the next time. And I don't stress about
that. I'm sorry. I'm intrigued to see where, because we'll have this conversation rather than having the conversation now of ad budgets for Black Friday. But yeah. I'm really intrigued to see what we can do with an ad budget being quite aggressive with it and see.
Me too. I think like, I mean, the numbers, I'm thinking of the dollars per hour in a 24-hour sale. And it's like, we could match last year, I think. I think we won't fulfill all those orders and we'll lose our 100% fill rate we've got going right now, meaning orders come in by 2 p.m. they ship the same day. That being said, that's it's a Monday. It's great. We'll all be fresh. We'll have had a weekend off, and we'll just bust our ass and get everything packed and shipped. And so I don't forget, this is more on the logistics and operational side. So the logistics thing I was going to mention is we've got great relationships with our vendors, these different brands we carry. So this was just happening yesterday and today, where we'll create purchase orders for an extra 2 weeks worth of inventory based on sales, right, for the season. Email to all these vendors we have great relationships with and say, hey, we're doing, you know, we're preparing for this Cyber Monday sale, Black Friday sale, whatever, and we would like to ask you for an additional 10% off of this order on top of our normal pricing. We're going to offer 20% off to customers. It's how we're in this together, you know. So you have skin in the game, we have skin in the game. We're going to bust our butts, advertise your brand, sell a bunch of your product. And like 80% of vendors are like, hell yeah. And the best thing about that is, so say we buy that extra inventory and we don't sell it all during the sale, we sell it at full retail anyway. You know, we're just a little more stocked up. So that's one little tip on how to.
That's fucking cool as fuck.
It works great. I mean, we buy in like, you know, I mean, I'm talking like 50 vendors or whatever. We put out, you know, extra POs on top of normal stocking orders. And that's just something we started doing the last maybe two sales. And it's just, like I said, it's great. We send a PO with the ask, because someone gets a PO and they're like, oh crap, hell yeah. You're like, I'll give you 10 points on this. Or they say no, and that's fine. And we still sell their products at a discount. We tell them that, like, you can say no, it's totally cool. If you don't have the margin, we get it. But, you know, if you can offer us a bit of a discount, it gives us more incentive to really push your product. So that's one thing I would say. The other thing about operations and inventory is, I mean, we start ordering and stocking heavy, you know, mid-October to make sure we are stocked up, because if you run out of product, if, like in our case, we warehouse and ship our own inventory. If you run out of goods to sell, well, you just hamstrung your own sale, right? And I did that for years, where like, oh, cool, we sold all of those. You're like, well, shoot, you know, how many could we have sold? So really putting time and effort and money into inventory and stocking up is a big one. And another meaty nugget of advice, I think, is more marketing based. And it's about what you'd said, where we give all the time, we're always giving. And so I don't often make asks of people we help, but we do a lot of sponsoring. We sponsor pre-COVID probably 200 events a year. There's less events now. That means everything from like almost big backyard barbecues to giant, you know, 30,000 person motorcycle shows or whatever. We also sponsor motorcycle racers. We do a lot of charity work and all that. So coming up, normally during the sale, I've done this the last few sales, I'll make a personal email sent from my own email address to every person I've got on record that we've like supported in some way. And I'll say, hey, you know, we've helped you. If you got this email, it's because Lowbrow's helped you out in some way. We've supported you and your events and your causes. You know, small ask, we've got a big sale going on. If you've used our parts, do us a favor, throw a photo of your motorcycle or your trip or your whatever on social media, on Facebook, whatever, mention Lowbrow, tag us. If you want to mention a sale, cool. If not, that's cool. Overwhelming people do filling up with really cool photos that are user-generated content, and we're not putting the word mile, so it's said in a million different ways, and that just helps drive traffic to our website. So that's another one that it's free, basically. You know, it's just an ask. You just ask people what to do and then tell them what to do, or not like specific information, but they're seen.
No. No.
We have lost him. He'll be back. He will be back. So
that was fucking gold nuggets though there as well. I mean, they could just edit this out, but that was gold nuggets there.
As parts that we don't normally see either. As
I wrote all that down. He's back now. It's all good. This is the, we're not live, so they can edit all out. But they were nuggets, bro. We heard it all. You literally went, there's another, there, and there's another, whatever you said, like nugget or meaty thing, and then you vanished. It was like smoke and mirrors.
Okay. did it get whatever I was saying about asking people to, okay, cool. Well, that was it.
And you jumped off, and Neil and I were both like, fuck, that's a gold, they're gold nuggets. That's actionable,
I send that email out and maybe it makes me $100,000. You know what I mean?
But also like just speaking to the vendors, right? That's another, I don't think a lot of people do that.
Yeah. And it's not even that much work, right? Make a Google doc and just keep track of who are emailing, who said yes in the past, who said no, PO numbers, blah, blah, blah. So it's a little bit of tracking, but like 4 hours of work or whatever, you know what I mean? And then in dollars, it really works out well. Yeah. So, and again, it gets those vendors in the game as well. Now those vendors are potentially, you know, posting, hey, Lowbrow's got a sale, go check out our, you know, they're now on your team as well because they want to sell us to sell their products, right? Yeah. So that's another thing, is reaching out to those brands you carry and asking them to promote for you. So it's win-win, you know?
Yeah. So whilst we're on this, I had this as a note to talk about in a second, but fuck it, we'll talk about it now. And one thing that we haven't mentioned, like, so what's your... We've done it both with you, and I'm actually interested to know your answer for this one. So in terms of coming to the Black Friday sale, like our message to brands that we work with is make it so simple, so easy to, in order for them to get the Black Friday. When people do things like, if you buy three, you'll get a discount. But if you buy two, it's just like nothing happens and it's hard work to get the discount. We're like, don't do that. Make it simple. So our message is always, just put a banner on the website and either have it automatically applied or have a code. And you just apply the code.
Yeah.
Again, banner on the website saying, put in this code. What's your like go-to and get this conversation has probably happened with our team in terms of, because I know we've done both with you. Like where
I've done it both ways. Yeah. I can give you insight. I typically like to use a code, and that is because I personally will be pulling orders during these sales, right? Like pulling inventory off the shelf, looking at invoices. There's a ton of people during even an 8-day sale who make a purchase, you say like well over above average order value, which in my case is say $125, so I'm placing a multi-$100 or $1,000 order, and they don't use the code. And we never hear from that person asking for the discount retroactively, right? So there's a large percentage of people who just honestly just, I don't know if they're not aware of the sale, if they're just, I don't know, but we get a large percentage, a large meaning like double digit of like, I mean, maybe even like 20% of people who maybe place an order, don't get the discount, and that's that. And I go, well, that's cool because I prefer full retail, you know? It's a small hoop to jump through entering a code. We have a Shopify-based website, and I use a little app for a top banner, right? And it's like, enter code Black Friday for 20% off or whatever. It's super simple, right? And then it's also on what we call a billboard, main image on the homepage. This is another little marketing tip that works well on our blog, which is integrated into our website. We've got recent posts that'll be in the left column, right? So the most recent post is going to be about our sale. Hey, sale's on, here's what it is, blah, 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 blah. So now that icon's there, you know, that Black Friday sale with a main featured image that's very clearly about the sale. And then maybe go on Facebook and start posting some of our most popular blog content articles into motorcycle interest groups, not talking about a sale. Hey, here's this history of the Harley Davidson sports article. Lots of people love it. Hope you enjoy. And then adding a few photos from the post URL to that blog post. People do love the articles. They go to the website, they're reading the Sportster history article. And there's the Black Friday blog post on the left column, most recent posts. There's the banner at the top of the website, right? So like, we'll do stuff like that where we're not talking about a sale at all, but the bottom line is if we have traffic to the website, they're going to see that kind of stuff.
People
forget. And again, that's like one of a thousand things you can do. You know, it's just like another way that you're adding to the...
People forget so much about content like that. And that's not just for Black Friday, you know, that's year round. If you've got a good... performing email opt in or something similar, and you've got a blog page that you've set up and is conversion optimized and has just, when I say conversion optimized, you know, you have a few call to action banners in it, you know, a sidebar and a call to action at the bottom to sign up for the email or to sign up for or to take, you know, the featured product or whatever it is. They work so well, especially for larger average order value items, because again, you're just giving before you ask.
Some of those are like, I mentioned it to you, Tyler, like we're launching our first e-commerce brand next year quite aggressively. And I've just literally like taken down all those notes. Your phone's going to be off the hook from me when I come to like in the whole inventory game and logistics game. Tyler.
I can talk about it all day.
It's easy. All good. Cool. So cracking on, we went a little bit off piste and all that we're going through here now is pre-awareness, then the nurturing, then the sale, and we'll be wrapped up in probably 20 minutes max. But in terms of the landing page for this pre-awareness, it's a super simple style. This is cut off a little bit, but then normally under this button, we have the SMS stuff in terms of, or text, blah, 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 to whatever it may be. But it's so simple, the landing page. We have a bit of mystery that we play within it, but super simple landing page, super high converting. These probably convert at around 50% for you guys in terms of, you know, the traffic that's running in there, but it is just super simple, to the point, telling them exactly what's happening, what they're getting, not overcomplicating things, pop in your details, move to the thank you page. I don't think we need to spend ages on this. Neil, I don't know if there's anything particular that you want to add into these, but
no, just, you know, if you're running, definitely don't overthink it. Simple is best. Even this is quite complicated, really. But in a post kind of iOS world, you've also got lead forms and lead extensions on Google, which your tracking is way better for and is way cheaper as well. And we're generally seeing them. We avoided them for a long time because the lead quality wasn't as good. And it's still not, but the fact of how much cheaper it is now compared to before, it works out a lot better.
And again, it's just make sure that they have a legit reason of coming into these pages, whether it's early access or whatever else. Back over the past, this is the easiest like flipping DJ and gig MC gig I've ever done, because I just keep passing it back over to Tyler. Tyler, one of your games that you're so strong with is your email marketing. And the thing where people would and could get this strategy wrong is they get all these leads from whether it's SMS, whether it's email, and then they go, okay, cool, I've got all those email addresses. When it comes to me launching my Black Friday sale, I'll just literally email them the day before. And they, you know, these people could be sitting on an email list for 10, 25 days without receiving anything. In terms for you, Tyler, what's kind of, I guess, your key do's and don'ts for making sure that audience is warmed up and nurtured from joining the email list to getting to the to when you are then announcing the sale is open to them?
So when we do the early notification, what we do is early notification signups, and all of those subscribers do fall into our welcome sequence. We use Klaviyo via Shopify, and I have to give a shout out to Jess. Learned a lot. Actually, I met her in Croatia and then got some feedback on email and flows, switched to Shopify and Klaviyo, built those flows out, which is a lot of front-loaded work, right? But then added $200,000 a month in email sales or whatever from doing that work, which wasn't that much work, you know what I mean? So people sign up and they're going to get our welcome flow, which has got a variety of content, including like, you know, maybe I'll email that's one of our top products, like a top product showcase, really cool photos, like, you know, in the field of that part in use or product in use, popular blog articles, a little bit of the history of Lowbrow, of my company. We have a real popular video on that. And it just keeps people, you know, like you said, kind of primed. And when we offer the early access, we want to be legitimate about that, but the early access is pretty basic. If the sale starts on Black Friday at midnight or whatever, we are sending out email, SMS, I think just email and SMS actually, to all of the early notification subscribers at like 5 p.m. on Thursday, right? So they're getting 5 or 6 hours heads up. But we also in those emails talk about scarcity, which is a reality in my industry. And actually with COVID, it's a way bigger reality. The bottom line is we carry a lot of parts and products that are made by small, like maybe even one person, this guy in Japan, this guy in Italy, whatever, we import all these parts. And maybe there is only 6 of them. Maybe there's only 18 of them and they're going to be sold out for 3 months. And in other cases, we have hundreds or thousands of something. But the reality is we sell out of a ton of stuff on Black Friday, despite our best attempts to really be stocked up. So giving that early access is legitimate. Our first day, that early access, we do a large chunk of sales right out of the gate, you know, followed by Black Friday. Usually chills out a little Saturday, Sunday, Cyber Monday, real big again, finishing it off. But sending out those emails about the scarcity, about, you know, hey, 48 hours left, and then, or whatever, yeah, countdown timer, it's less than 24 hours. Updating our push notification automation messages. So, you know, instead of like, say, abandoning cart and browse abandonment flows, putting the verbiage about the sale and the offer in there, putting the code, if it's a Black Friday 20% off coupon code, it's in the abandoned cart push notification, right? So that customer gets it. Hey, our sale ends tomorrow. I mean, I'll personally update those messages once or twice a day, dependent, because it really has that much of an impact when it's a short sale. Like for this 24-hour sale, I mean, it'll be fun because it's only 24 hours, but it could really be dialed in, you know, like it'd be like 4 hours left, you know. I mean, you can do it every freaking hour and it's going to have a benefit. And again, when it's true, it makes it easy. Like the countdown, if there's a hard end time and also the scarcity, there's a limited, there's X amount of inventory, it makes it easy. You know, he's talk about the other thing, it works well for us because we don't do a lot of sales. So for us, we do 20% off site wide. That's the default daily for some companies, right? But it's just not for us. So I really value my brand and make a point to not give away too many discounts or coupon codes. And tying in scarcity with COVID supply chain, I imagine you all feel the same things we feel on a daily basis across literally everything. Everything's out of stock, more expensive, out of stock and more expensive, back ordered. You know, for my company, we have a lot of products where we do assembly and this and that. We're out of one component, and then this top selling product is completely out of stock for 6 months while I'm trying to locate another supplier or whatever. So that was part of the decision in the 1 day versus 8 day sale this year too, is, well, hey, it's harder to get things and it's way more expensive than it was 2 years ago. So let's play with a shorter sale, because the reality is if there is no sale and we have the inventory, we have the items, they're going to sell anyway, right? So it's a little different market than it was pre-COVID, before everything just fucking fell apart and people stopped working, which is another topic. But anyway, that's kind of where my head's at. You know, it's like the value we're giving people is, hey, we're going to supply you with great parts that you want and or need. We're going to ship it to you really fast. We're going to do the free motorcycle tech support. If you have an issue, we're here to take care of it. And during the sale, we're giving you 20% off. We're still going to ship it fast. You know, why would they go somewhere else? Is basically what the experience we try to give customers is like.
You definitely do it.
Yeah. And I think we're using pre-notification with pretty much everyone this year, because it's such a big driver, and there is so much fear about everything selling out. Now you're in a I don't want to say privileged position, because you've built the culture over many years, but you're in a position that a lot of brands aren't, in the fact that you don't need to make a long sale, or you don't need to make a huge amount of income, you know, over this period. And I think a lot of brands that do are having to engage people a lot earlier. And like I said, we're running pre-notifications from like the 1st of November, or if not, we've got some running now for some clients, that we're running for 3-4 weeks before the sale goes live. And most companies that we're working with are really doing sales. In fact, most companies everywhere are doing sales much sooner this year and extending them. So one of the big things that we're encouraging everyone to do when over that longer period is utilize in the email, utilize, like it says in, you know, in that image, content that overcomes objections, because there'll be a lot of people who, for whatever reason, have an objection to buying a particular product or a particular item or buying from your brand. And it's generally just very easy questions that you can overcome. And if you can overcome them with testimonials, reviews, social proof, everything else, you're almost handling that objection before the sale actually comes. So once that sale comes, if you do it in a right way, you can handle most of the objections that people will face. You can give a large amount of social proof, and you can be infotaining and give content, and build that rapport in that time period. Because if you've got someone signing up, let's say today, I don't know what we are, 28th of October, and the sale's going live on the 19th of November, you've got a long time period to keep them engaged. And it's a perfect time to just be keeping front of mind and keeping giving why they should buy you and why they should buy, not necessarily for you guys, Tyler, because I mean, Lowbrow speaks for itself, but if you really have to do a lot more selling and you don't have that culture, you need to sell why they should buy from you. And you can do that by keeping on top of people throughout that time period and not just getting that email and leaving them. Because if you get that email and then neglect them, chances are very likely they're going to go elsewhere. So it's not a case of just getting an email in and then waiting till the sale goes live and giving them that sale. The more you can objection handle, the more you can build rapport, the more you can build relationship, and the more you can sell your brand, not your product, the more success you're going to have when it comes to utilizing the things like the countdown timers, the scarcity, and everything else.
Right. I totally agree. The welcome sequence I mentioned has a lot of those aspects in it, because while my brand is known to quite a few motorcyclists and growing, we still get a lot of cold traffic and signups and whatnot. So customer testimonials like, hey, don't just hear from us. And then one of us, right, at that, a whole series of user-generated content of images of motorcycles with their feedback on both products and company, right? Like you said, you want to address those concerns. You want to make them familiar. So you don't want someone to get, you're like, hey, our sale just launched. And they'd be like, wait, what's this company? Who's this? Yeah, whatever, you know? You want them to be like, hell yeah, and then be stoked and like, break out their phone and see what's on sale, et cetera. You know, one thing I'd say too about the early notification and having that contact prior and leading up to the sale. I would think that if we have a sale starting on Thursday or Friday and everyone knows it, that week before would be total crap as far as sales go. But we usually have a killer week. Yeah. You know, like I don't get it. It's like people are like so freaking primed and ready that generally until it's like 12 hours before the sale, it might slow down. But we usually have like a really good week that's like well above average. And then the sale kicks in and then it absolutely kills it even more. So it's like getting people ready. And like, again, that scarcity idea too, where it's, people are like, crap, I know that gas tank's going to sell out. I'm just going to buy it right now, whatever, you know, I'll pay full retail. And I'm assuming that's, you know, part of it. I don't, you know, fully understand, but it's, it kind of surprises me every year.
Yeah, that is a surprise. That definitely is. Cool. So last really couple of things to go through. We've just got a couple of ads, that best performing ads from the sale going live in best performing images, and then we're wrapped up. Again, kind of show you this in the news feed. Let's see if this works. Can you see my Facebook now?
Yep.
Cool. So again, Tyler, I don't know if you know this. This is your best performing copy from Black Friday history, I think, from all the Black Fridays that we've worked together on. We can see the image again, making it brand heavy. We would, again, not define this as long copy. Some people might see this now and say it's long copy. Would we define this as medium, short?
Medium long.
Medium length copy. Heavy use of emojis. We find that works really well with the scroll. But in terms of the copy that we're having here, again, it's a little bit more opposite of what we would see work from a normal time outside of a sales, where we're a lot more heavy using scarcity stuff, using stuff that in terms of like these guarantees here that you guys do, and really pushing the sell versus selling more so on the ad than we would normally do. On the ad, we would normally sell so much more in terms of the outcome of Lowbrow, the stuff about, you know, you can be, imagine being on your bike here, there, etc. Where here, we're kind of just selling exactly what the sale is and how that they can get it. And again, really heavy with the brand image. Neil, I don't know if there's any other things that you want to touch on with this style of copy versus what we normally see work.
No, you covered most of it, but everything there, and you look at how everything is kind of put together in that copy, it's essentially answering questions is what it's doing, and it's speaking as if it's coming from someone at Lowbrow. It's not speaking like a brand. It's speaking, you know, almost like a person, you know. And if you read through that, and I'm a big believer, and you know, my team probably hate me going on about flow and everything else. I believe if an ad doesn't sound like it's flowing out of someone's mouth naturally, it shouldn't be an ad. And it makes it a jolty experience to read, which means when you do write longer copy, which we're big advocates of longer copy, to really sell through the page, it will put people off. So everything here and everything for Lowbrow and generally in general is a little bit tongue in cheek. It's a little bit playful, and it sounds like it's coming from a person rather than coming from a corporate entity.
And again, like, this is the heaviest sales call. I remember when we first started working with you, Tyler, you were like, I don't want it to be really sale heavy in terms of copy and ads, just general. This is like the heaviest copy that we go with Lowbrow, right? Which is only like Black Friday. And I remember when we first started, Tyler, you were super like, I don't want to be super coming across as spammy or anything else. And this is like the most aggressive. So it's so different versus like normal marketing throughout the calendar year. But for you, you know, we try and get the two across, and it's obviously working with your team as well. Like, you know, we can take a lead on copy, but the guys at Lowbrow are also awesome at giving feedback and changing it, the flow and stuff like that. Stuff like this, because who doesn't give them more bang for the buck? We're feeling more generous. That's a Lowbrowism, I will call it.
Yeah.
In terms of walking through it. But best performing copy, another one that we've got here, again, you can see it's probably a similar flow with also being completely different in the content. Here's the same thing, all 33. You need to have a beer with Bing Tyler. You really like him. Again, super kind of brand heavy. We're obviously making it look like someone's Googling something here. But again, just talking exactly, telling people exactly what it is. Here, they sell a very high average order value chair, office chair, which is super awesome. I'm sure you can hit up Bing for a discount code and he would love that. But again, it's just going very product heavy versus this one, because it's a higher order value. We talk a lot more about kind of the benefits, et cetera, but it still follows a similar trend in terms of just moving through people through to the sale and being a little bit more sales heavy than we would normally see. Let's move on, I believe, to images. So again, you've just seen them, best performing images. Tyler, this was your best performing image. This was obviously one of the ones where we used the code.
Mm-hmm.
As well, exact same story as we see for the pre-awareness. It's super product heavy, showing what the product is, versus them we see the most of the time, and then the same over there for all 33. How do you feel about these images, Tyler, compared to like normal side of the year?
So I used to teach graphic design. I can do graphic design. I don't do it for myself much anymore. I would never look at that and say that's going to be my top. I would be like, nah, that's,
yeah.
So, like, it's just like, man, whatever. I don't give a shit.
You do
that.
Not want to see one of the images I created for you one year, Tyler.
Tyler, do you remember that?
I don't remember it.
You did see it. Oh, that's embarrassing.
I thought
I'm not a graphic designer.
It was like that fucking Nicolas Cage film.
Yeah, it was.
We're not getting into it. Let's move on.
Yeah. It's interesting though, because that image is so contrary to our marketing that happens 356 days a year or whatever, you know. But it works so well, you know, and that might be that inverse too on the, you know, that mid-length copy, etc. That's different than the marketing that we're doing directly from Lowbrow by far. It's very different.
Yeah.
And it works really well, maybe almost because it's in contrast, right? It just gives, it catches the attention because it is different.
Yeah, for sure. I'm the exact same. Like when I see these style of images, I hate them.
Yeah, I think whatever. I just don't care, you know? But like my brain doesn't, I don't feel like my brain even sees them, you know?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
And this is the, like where a lot of people get wrong is they go to market and they go brand heavy images like that all year round. And it's like, no, that's not what the brand is about. Mm-hmm. But Black Friday is the time, the only time that you can be a little bit kind of like that in terms of marketing. Neil, other platforms, do you want to take the mic on these ones? And
sure. So
we'll jump through these two slides.
Obviously, there's a lot of other platforms at play. We're going to primarily cover Google, the Google platforms on top of the social. Obviously, you've got Microsoft in there as well. Very easy to set up if you set up Google. What we're doing is changing every bit of ad copy, even if it's just the second headline, as you can see an example over on the right, just to make sure that anyone searching is seeing that offer front and center in the headline. You've also got promotion extensions that you can use, which is the little tag at the bottom of the ad that you see there. It says Black Friday, $600 off ergonomic chairs, ends December 1st. They can, you know, just by having that offer front and center, the CTRs increase, the conversion rates increase because people, you know, are seeing that. You can put that in your description, but we're essentially taking every single Google ad, and we run a very much a kind of single theme ad group, which is essentially not quite like single keyword ad group, but is very similar to just having one ad per keyword. It's changed obviously with Google's new regulations, and we're changing all of our ad copy out on every single ad that we've got in pretty much every single client's ad account, putting a label on it so we can turn it off all very easily after the sale, and just making sure that that's front and center. You could even add in Black Friday or sale keywords if you're going to get lots of traffic on them, like best Black Friday office chairs, etc. Next slide, Joey.
There you go. I'm just the slide man now.
Google Shopping as well. You've obviously got sale prices you can add on. So they're not as apparent, you know, as, you know, a big red strike through that you might have on your sales page, but you can see them in action on that Google demo with the watch one, where it cuts out the £100 at the 60. And on the laptop one, where that first item is cut down from 1200 to 899. So you can add a sale price to any item that you want to, that you've got the sale on for. And you get the benefit of having the sale in the top left corner as well, which can help increase.
Sorry to interrupt. That's something that comes into play with the coupon code or not for sale, right? So it's something we consider. You have a coupon code, your prices are full price, right? So if yeah. you do a site-wide sale, no code necessary, that'll push through to Google Shopping. Google Shopping for yeah. Lowbrow is a large platform. So that's like something you got to weigh as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you need to do it based on the actual price. So you can't do that through a coupon, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if you're running a coupon, this will be out of, you know, not available.
Tyler knows this stuff. I was surprised there, Tyler. I was like, I thought you were even like.
You can go to the next one. Google Display Network and YouTube as well. So offer heavy creatives. We find work really well on GDN right now, especially for higher average order values. These are two that we've actually got in play or had in play a couple of months ago, and getting a really good... I think they were at 5 or 6 return on ad spend from cold GDN campaigns. So working extremely well, just making sure now, even if you only have that in retargeting at a small budget, it's making sure that anyone who's visited your site is being made aware that there's a sale on and will bring them back for that sale. I'd recommend, you know, GDN retargeting definitely. And cold as well. And like I said, those offer heavy creatives. And you can really have fun with some GDN stuff. In terms of YouTube, YouTube retargeting, definitely. We find even with, kind of subpar creatives, you can get YouTube retargeting working really well. Any of you have really strong creatives, cold, like Tyler's got some really great creatives, like the one you saw of Dove at the beginning, things very similar to that, that can work extremely well on YouTube, and most likely on YouTube cold. But if you're not confident enough to get YouTube cold going yet, or you're not confident in your creatives as much, because YouTube really is kind of 90% creative, you can get some very simple creatives working on retargeting. And that's, again, just having that presence of being everywhere. As long as you've got enough traffic coming into your site, you can have that presence of being everywhere and put in a few sales, even on a very small budget for YouTube. You can go to the next one, Joe. I think that's it.
That's it. There we go. So I guess moving into just ROI, just to have some transparency over this, Ty, I know you're cool with this. From an ad perspective, from you guys, if you want to go into your other stuff, Ty, I know it's completely up to you, but from an ad perspective with Lowbrow, they're an anomaly of a brand that makes a ridiculous amount of return on ad spends. That Tyler goes to me, sometimes you go, can we crank ad spend or et cetera, et cetera? And it's like, it just could go crazy either way. So from this perspective of you, Tyler, over Black Friday, it works so well every single year. It's one, I think you've kind of had best months over those times or over the July 4th sale, which has been awesome to see it super profitable as well for you guys.
Yeah. We've done a 4th of July sale, which is essentially the exact same as our Black Friday sale the last several years, at least, I think. And there are biggest weekends or weeks for sure. Our peak month was actually so far was March this year, 2021. That's based on seasonality and traffic though. So like we basically shatter records every year, you know? So it's like, March this year was great. I can't freaking wait till March 2022. It's gonna be great because all the work and effort we've been putting in. But I don't know off the cuff. I mean, a half million in sales and for like our last sale or something, you know, it's maybe 600. I don't know. It's something like that. It's a lot higher than our norm. I don't know.
The interesting thing for you guys is that like the return on ad spend normally kind of adds on another like 50% return on ad spend as well. I think I'm right in saying that. No, you'll know better than me, but the return on ad spend as well goes up quite a big amount in terms of like just direct to cold consumers, which is amazing as well, which will definitely have an effect on March as well, right? Because then all these cold consumers that come in at a super profitable number, you know, getting them to rebuy is going to be an important piece of the pie in terms of moving forwards. And once someone is in your brand and in your world, they're just super, so like you're so good at your content game, you're so good at the community, the culture and everything else that they've just kind of got Lowbrow in the blood. And if you ever speak to someone that knows Lowbrow, they're like, just go on and on and on about what a nice guy you are and how nice the company is. It's quite annoying at times.
They say shame about you. They say shame about your brother. But
giving credit to you guys, because you're saying so many nice things about me this whole time. I believe when we, the three of us hung out in Croatia and didn't talk business at all, had a freaking great time, a great night, like woke up with like aching abs and face from laughing. And it was a great time. And it was a couple of weeks later where I was like, hey, like, yeah, you guys do ads. And so, you know, I have an e-commerce company, let's talk about doing business. And if not, that's cool, whatever, you know, and it was all very casual. And I think the number I came at you with was saying, well, I need at least a 5x return on ad spend, you know, like anything below that is not acceptable because I've had below that, you know? So like, I've had an e-commerce company for 17 years, and I've spent a ton of money and worked with many companies over the years, and some of which I thought were like total shit and some that I thought were all right, you know, but eventually kind of failed me in some way. And I'm like, oh no, they all were total shit after working with you guys, because you can see by the ROI numbers, I mean, it's nowhere near the bottom threshold that I gave you.
This is the highlight reel. You're a dream to honestly work with. It's easy and it's effortless. And when we ask for one thing, you give us 5,000 of it. So,
well, speaking to everyone out there, the one thing I would say that it's hard work on your end, I know, and it's hard work on our end too. In that, I think the reason our companies work so well together is we all, you know, we stay in our own lanes, right? Like, I'm not trying to do business I don't want. And in our end, it's like, we've got an in-house videographer, Mikey, who's amazing, very creative and passionate. And then our in-house graphic designer, Longhair, who's great as well as like the rest of what I call my marketing team, which is kind of like a third of the company. You know, we all wear multiple hats. But putting it's a lot of thought and effort that goes into, and it's fun, but it's a lot of work that goes into providing images, video, et cetera. But I would stress to, you know, that's a key part of it. So yeah, we can hand you the assets so you can just do your job. I can't expect you guys to just produce creative for us and have it be super on point when we have a subculture of a company, you know? So that's a piece of advice I'd give people is, yeah, like when in doubt, don't be cheap and hire a graphic designer, whether it's for piecework or it's full time. You know, same with videography. If that's what you need to make that video happen, just freaking hire someone to do some videos for you and move on. And don't keep putting it off and don't like hire your nephew because he said he can do it or whatever. You know, like put some serious thought into it and get the right people. And it's a real important part of this whole picture.
Yeah, a million percent. And like last thing, so we would say that you know, I can't remember what we spent over it, but it we would call you a low spend. And then just to also put it in completely other aspects where it's like more about volume and big spend, this is all 33 in terms of, for them, the key is to spend, you know, we spend a lot of ad dollars over Black Friday versus if you put it kind of in direct comparison with you guys. So this is the thing as well, where we talk about people go each way. We could, if Tyler wanted us to go and spend 500 grand over Black Friday, we could, but it would break. I think it would break things because you facilitate every single ship, every single order and stuff like that. So it's, yeah, it's also kind of very, very different.
Right.
Cheers, brother. It was good fun, man. I learned a ton that I didn't expect to learn.
Well, thanks.